The question was asked, what is a witch? So we're going to focus on what the Torah says, Mechashefa lo techaye. It says in the Pasuk two things, Mechashefa lo techaye. It's interesting that in the Pasuk, there are two things juxtaposed. Mechashefa lo techaye, kol shochevim beimam mot yumat. Interesting, what do the two have to do with one another? Don't let a Mechashefa stay alive, and anyone who sleeps with an animal gets a death penalty. How do those two connect? So what is a witch? What is a witch? If we translate Mechashefa as a witch. And is there a male witch? The answer is yes, there is a male witch. And there are shown in the commentaries right away tell you that, that the Pasuk spoke about women because it's more common with women. Because women have a tendency to be more superstitious and believe things that are alternative medicine. You have much more women into that than men, and all kinds of other things where a man will say, has it been proven? And a woman will say, no, it works. I heard my friends. It feels right. All kinds of answers which don't hold water by men, and sometimes women are right. Yeah, like sgulot, right? Amulets that women are very into it by their nature. And it's not necessarily a bad nature. It's just we have our weaknesses, they have theirs. So coming back to what is a Mechashefa? So Mechashefa probably comes from the word kishuf. Mechashefa is a woman that does kishuf. What is kishuf? So kishuf is what we might translate as sorcery. So what is that? There's a big discussion among the commentaries. First of all, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the Gemara delineates between different types of sorcery. Some use the bones of dead bodies. Some use sleight of hand. Some use their imagination. And some, the Gemara says, use demons. There are different variations on how we understand that Gemara. And there's a basic question of, do all these forces exist, or is it all just people are fooling people? They're all charlatans. And the Rambam is of the opinion that almost everything is fake. Almost everything. Not everything. The Rambam says there are ways you can move your imagination to be able to tap into things. He says man does have the capacity to arouse within oneself one's imagination to the point where one will be able to understand things that he otherwise could not, something not far from prophecy. It's not accurate, but even Rambam says such a thing exists. Rambam's of the opinion that all this is fake, and it stems from paganism, and it's ways of people making wrong decisions for the wrong reasons. And others say, no, there are forces out there, and you can tap into those forces. And this is a debate down to the Shulchan Aruch and past that, and one can take one of either approaches. Now, so we discussed a little bit what's a Mechashefa, and you also have a Mechashef, and whether what they do really works or it's all fake. So two approaches to that. We'll pause for a second for a story. The Gemara says that there were pious what? I'm not. I unpaused it. The daughters of Rabbi Yanai, so one of the rabbis thought they were very pious, and then they got captured into captivity, and they were so pious that when they'd mix the broth, they'd stick their hands in and they didn't get burned. So everyone said, wow, what tzaddikim they are. And then they discovered that they were really a bunch of witches. They did it with their sorcery. So that Gemara certainly sounds like they did sorcery and that sorcery worked. We have many Gemaras that discuss sorcery that works. The question is, do we take those Gemaras literally or not? But you have Gemaras that describe people standing on their ship and they couldn't leave the port because she said an incantation and his ship wouldn't leave. We have a Gemara where she tried to give him something to drink, one of the rabbis in the Talmud, and had he drank it, she would have harmed him. And she said, why can't I do anything to harm you? And he said, well, God doesn't want you to harm me. It's just not going to work. And she says, you know, I've been trying to bash you all the time with my sorcery, and nothing's working. And he says, right, because if God doesn't want it to work, it ain't going to work. So there are different Gemaras which certainly sound like these forces exist. And Rambam will interpret all these to mean that they don't literally exist. There are ways to make people think they exist. You asked, do they still exist today? So Nachmanides disagrees with Rambam. He holds, Gilad asked that. Ramban is of the opinion that these forces exist. One can tap into them, and the Torah is prohibiting that. And Ramban then says in his letter, Torah Hashem Tamima, he says, but don't think they exist today anymore, he says, 800 years ago. He says, what existed once was people who knew how to do this. Today they're all fakers. They have this little bit of wisdom left over from ancient times that they don't really know. Because the Talmud says that reading the palms of the hands is a real thing. So Ramban says, yeah, the Talmud says a lot of things are real things, because in their days they had people who really knew how to do it. Today they're all fake. Today it's all a bunch of charlatans. So Ramban, that's even Ramban, Nachmanides, who holds that these forces exist, says, but don't think they exist today, says Ramban 800 years ago. He says, once upon a time they knew how to do this stuff.
How did Guy away though? Witch hunts or something?
People lost maybe witch hunts, or people just passed down the tradition not so well.
Things disappear like prophecy.
Yeah.
The sources of Egypt when emotions.
I just wouldn't be surprised.
So that's a good question.
These are sources. What they talk about?
These are one type. That's where the Gemara describes that there are different words used about the sorcerers. And different ones use different versions of different ways of fooling people. And again, Rambam would say that all of this is not to be taken literally. We would add that Rambam holds that demons are figments of people's imagination. And it could be, even though Rambam doesn't spell it out, but when I studied magic, so in my deep, dark history, I was a magician. So at one point, as I was at the end of my career, I started learning black magic, meaning I started learning what they call real magic from England. And at that point, I started discovering that the plants that they burn as part of the magic ceremony were hallucinogenics. So people were honest when they said, I sat with the sorcerer and I saw the mirror talking to me. It's true, that's what they saw. When you burn certain hallucinogenics, you can get people to see all kinds of things. They really saw that. And that fits in with what Rambam writes, that part of the sorcery is getting people's imaginations to work. Rambam writes. That when
Rabbi, you were a witch.
Just a second. Rambam writes.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I was getting offended. Rambam writes that the concept of demons is a concept of the imagination. People's imaginations, people's fears. So that's that would fit with the Rambam, even though Rambam doesn't spell that out, but that would fit in with that. Radak quotes an opinion that says that they were also ventriloquists, so they could throw their voices to places, and so people thought they were hearing the skull talking when really it was the person, the ventriloquist, making the skull talking.
So
whichever.
Psychology.
It's also psychology.
No,
that's
but I mean,
another thing.
If
you're using a hallucinogenic plant, it's not psychology.
Okay.
And if you're a ventriloquist, it's not psychology.
Okay.
It's
pharmacology.
No, I'm saying it's also that. That's another thing. Yeah.